We are Brightside.
Theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast. The Home Theater Podcast, it's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes.
There he is. How you doing?
good. I was going to change it. I just thought, should I go the scenes? But just to change it up. But I figured, no, it, consistency is good.
I felt the hesitation. I felt that little bit of hesitation. Yeah. And I was like, what are we going to get? It's going to be something exciting.
Oh, no. No,
and it wasn't.
Sorry about that. I can only apologize.
No. Oh, literally, how are you doing, Steve? Sometimes we get a chance to chat ahead of time. Literally did not. Set up, took my knit hat off, so now I can hear you better. How's your week been?
Yeah, good. Yeah, it's been okay. Very pleasant Easter weekend. Ate far too much chocolate, obviously. I've still got a mountain of Easter eggs left. That'll have to be tackled at some point. It's good. Plenty of time in my theater this week. Seen some great stuff and some not so great stuff. And in case everyone gets expectation levels high, I haven't managed to watch True Lies.
Oh, yeah.
So, and Aliens still hasn't arrived, although it is over the Atlantic as we speak. So next week.
Aliens will be over the Atlantic?
Well, yeah, I didn't like
you
to
heard
say
it here first, Howard. Folks.
So next week will be the Cameron-orama. This week is, we've not got quite to that yet. This is a Ridley Scott-orama. This week, I think. it's been very good. How's your week been? I did see you with a lethal looking, nail gun?
I'll play that later. Yeah, that was pretty cool. I'll talk about that later too. Busy. Just a busy, busy week. Haven't watched anything else, but I think it's a really, really cool update. I got a really cool upgrade. First upgrade to the new house, and it's super. I'm so excited to tell you guys about it. It is home theater related and everything. It's like, it's something I've always wanted, and really, really excited to talk about it. I'm going to save that one for the end. I've told a few people about it. I actually told next Tuesday is going to be Brett Bjorkvist will be on today. Rich Keefe, did you get to hear any of that?
It's a quick hour. A single second yet. No, oh, okay. I haven't. I will do. I'd forgotten. So I need to watch that. It's been a very, very busy week, Dave.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you reminded me because I will listen to that on my way into work in the morning.
Rich and I had fun. It's a quick hour. He has, he's a very busy guy. I got a couple kids at home, and he's with his job, the way he works, it's like, I was like, hey, thanks for squeezing me in. I had texted him probably a week or two before that, but they had gone, and I say it in the show, I think, him and Ryan had gone crazy about Roadhouse months ago. And I meant to text them right then, like, let's do a show, the three of us, because they are not happy about it. They weren't happy about it when it was announced, never mind seeing it, right? So I was like, let's just have fun. And I did text them like 2 weeks before, and I was like, let's do it. No, gloves are off. You guys can take shots at me. We'll just have fun with it. And like, I'm going to bright side them. And we hadn't, at the time, we hadn't seen it yet. Mm. And then, of course, you got to go listen to them on Dork and hashtag Dork podcast. And they Ryan is so mad about it. It's so funny. It's so funny. And I'm dying to get him on, but Rich wasn't a big fan either. So we had fun with it, but we talk home theater and stuff like that. But next week, Brett and I are on, and I already recorded that one. I had a rainy day. So he jumped on for me. It was awesome. And I actually had told him about what I'm going to tell you guys about later, and super, super exciting. So I don't have any in theater, although I have been in my theater almost every day. watching the Marvel Netflix series. I'm on Jessica Jones right now. I actually started, The Defenders. I did the first episode and I was like, you know what? I feel like I should go back and let's not blast through this. And I did the first two, obviously, of Daredevil, but I'm in, I probably got like four episodes of Jessica Jones left and I'll go through Luke Cage and I am going to go through Iron Fist as much. Cause you know what? It really makes me look forward to getting up in the morning. And be like, you know, as busy a day as you have, I get up at 5:30 or my alarm will go off at 5:30 and I get up somewhere between there and six, depending on how I feel. And I'll go downstairs and I'll watch a single episode. But then the rest of the day, I'm looking forward to the next episode that early in the morning. So, I don't want to blast through them and then don't have something to look forward to. So I'm just going to, I'm going to ride it out as long as I can. And, so.
Well, the reason you might really want to see Iron Fist is apparently there has been a suggestion this week that, what's the name of the guy that plays Iron Fist? Is it Finn?
Yeah.
Something.
Yes.
If I want to say Finn Russell, but that's a rugby player. He tweeted or put something up on Instagram this week suggesting he might be in, Daredevil Born Again. He actually may have been rehired, as it were. So, yeah, so watching Iron Fist might actually be a good idea.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like you can't forget. And season two of Iron Fist was actually really good. And not really good. I shouldn't say that. It was definitely – Iron Fist is definitely the weakest. I'd say it just came to me, but I was scrolling through IMDb.
copycat.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely the weakest of all the series, right? And the first season was really a disappointment because everything I felt up until then was just really, really strong. But now going through it a second time, maybe I'll enjoy it more because you know the story. And then the ending of season two was just so good. It was just like it literally left you hanging and you were like, oh man. And then, but Jessica Jones is really good. No doubt. I mean, you can see why she got that character and, Kristen Ritter, why she got three seasons out of it. Jessica Jones and Daredevil were the only ones that did three seasons. Everybody else just did two. So, really enjoying it, and it is a lot of fun, in the theater. And the upgrades. And I almost cheated one night. I was jonesing for Jessica Jones. because over the weekend, I got real, real busy and I didn't even get time to watch anything for like, I think Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so I was like, one night, I was like, oh, I'll just watch an episode up here. No, you can't do that. So I didn't. but Jordan in the chat saying, yeah, Iron Fist was the weakest too. So, But Steve, you said, as I jumped in here, you said the chat was going crazy today.
Yeah, man. Well, I joined at about 10:02 and it was just Mikey and Mike Schramm and Mark V and Steve Att were all going great guns. I turned tuned in and I thought, have I missed the first hour? Because these guys had been chatting backwards and forwards. Yeah. So what we'll say hi to everyone. So Mark V was first, according to this, although Van Gool reckons he was earlier, but the earliest I can see here is Mark V. Yeah. So we'll credit that to Mark V. So Steve Batt's in, Mike Schramm's in. We have got, scrolling on down. See, they went for ages. Van Gool, Jordan Carpenter, as we've said, is in. Hey guys, we've got Rach is in. Hi, Rach. Paul Hertz in. Dom's in, of course. Dom's an absolute regular now. So we always expect him here. And we've got, Johnny Speakers in. PK is in. Hey, PK, nice to see you. At least, see your name. Mark Galliano, new. I think he might be.
Doesn't sound familiar.
Yeah, well, hi, Mark. Nice of you to join us. Mark. Jack saying, have a great show.
Yeah, sorry. So he was for a flying visit. I saw that scroll by a second ago.
That's it. Yeah, very flying.
Jazz is in. I just saw that on Twitter.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Yeah. No, you haven't missed the alien chat yet, Jazz. We'll get to that a bit later. And Fred's in as well. Yeah, man, the world is here.
Jack, yes. Yeah, I saw you and Jazz talking about Alien on Twitter today when I had a second.
Yes, yeah. So, yeah, I think, yeah, talking about Alien and the other one.
Van Gogh DJ needs to be like Michael Keaton in Multiplicity. Don't make a copy of a copy. My favorite line in that entire movie, she touched my pippy. So great.
I've only seen that once, I think. I seem to remember it being good.
The copy of a copy was just awesome. It's just so, like, it's so great.
And Paul Hurt saying, can't not say, hey, Fred.
Hey, nice. Hey, Fred. Yeah. Hey, Fred to everybody. Oh. Thank you.
Oh, Ariel's in. Hi, Ariel. How you doing, buddy? Oh, just turning down.
Yeah.
Ariel's dropping in. Yeah, wow. It's nice. A lively bunch. Lively bunch, yes, which is good. Yeah. Keep us going because we're both feeling it.
Yeah, very much so. Mm. With that, we had a great Patreon chat last week too. Had a really good one. Quick 2 hours. I had to get out. You tried to jump in. You were on call and got called.
I did. Yeah. I was at the police station and, you know, no matter how much I might try, clients aren't keen to sit and listen to a podcast or join in a show. And I'm not sure you want some of my clients in there anyway. Yeah. Stop stabbing and start talking.
We had a great chat. Paul was in there. Dom was in there. Don. I'm trying to think of, sorry if I forget anybody else, but yeah, we had a good time. We're getting close to, like, I hosted here on StreamYard and I can only host 10. And I think that one we got close, like 7 or 8. There was a time I think I was like, oh, if a couple more people pop in, but yeah, it's good. We talk everything. So thanks, guys. Hopefully we'll do it again real soon. Especially with the update that I've got coming up. Brockstar, me, damn it. I always forget him. I wish I could say, John, I wish I could say I did that on purpose, but I didn't, buddy. I didn't. It's my mind is mush. Always forgotten. Never always. Mm. Not, but you've never forgotten. It's funny. So, all right. He's crying. All right. You want to get to a home theater experience? Actually, yes. Anybody, if you want to take part in the Patreon chats, you can go to brightsidehometheater.com. Look for the links to join Patreon or go to patreon.com/brightsidehometheater. It's only $1 a month. That's all you need. And then gets you in the door. Yes, there is a fee to get in the door for those. Or that is just flat out supporting the show. So, thank you. And you can also go to brightsidehometheater.com and, buy us a box of popcorn. And choices are yours. They're there on the website. You'll see them. I'll come up with graphics for this someday, right, Steve?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's fine. No rush.
In my spare time. Yeah.
All that time.
Yeah. So, but yeah, thanks for everybody that's supporting us, whether it's monetarily or spreading the word. Whether you buy t-shirts and show everybody or you at T Public or, you know, just yelling down the street, hey, Brightside Home Theater. You know, if you get a black eye, send me a picture. I'll post it on the show.
Yes, we'll put up wanted posters.
Yeah.
Have you seen this man?
Have you seen this man? Yeah.
Yeah. So,
all right, let's get to, I'm going to say, let's get this one out of the way, but maybe I'm wrong. Am I wrong in that? What the hell was that noise?
That's a
yeah. That wasn't a sounder, everybody, but I should make that a sounder. What the hell was that?
That's all a right. Non-committal.
I can't even imitate that. That was awful. So good. All right. I guess let's do this one.
Oh yeah. Okay, so this is Aquaman. Not part two, by the looks of it, just Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
Yes.
On 4K UHD, Dolby Atmos. Now, I know you've seen this, Deej. I don't have to ask you if you've seen it. I know you saw it. You saw it in the theaters, and you've seen your Kaleidoscape version as well, haven't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Now, I did not see this in theaters I was not about to do that. because I have a little bit of an issue with the first one, I saw it in the theaters, hated it. And I mean hated it when I saw the first one in the theaters, and stayed away from it for a long time, until someone that I know really wanted to see it. And so I was like, well, look, if you're going to see it, I want you to see it properly. So I then bought the disc of the first one and watched it in Cinema George. And in spite of myself, I did enjoy it more the second time, quite a bit more, but I haven't been back to it. So obviously only a little bit more, but it was okay. So anyway, I was not about to see this in theaters, and I bought the disc when it came out, and it's only been out here a couple of weeks or so, and threw it on. So this, for me, Deej, is one of those movies where it's all about the home theater experience. It is absolutely not about the movie itself. Because having watched this movie, the film is
let's use that term loosely, the film gives it too much credit.
it does feel like it's been assembled from bits. Yes. It's just been kind of like, let's just have this bit, yes, and we'll just chuck that bit in, and let's all just throw it in together, and we'll use a bit of sticky tape, and we'll put it all together. And then if that runs into sort of a film, that'll be fine, because it's a weird mishmash of stuff. And the most entertaining part of this film for me was watching all of the bits where you could see poor Amber Heard had just clearly just been excised from this movie in just about every single way. And I felt, you know, very, very poor, you know, very, very sad for her, because, you know, it's a bit rubbish. I mean, she clearly was in this a lot, and she's not anymore.
Yeah.
So you can see where they've cut round her. And I think you can also see the scenes where she is, where clearly there was the conversation and dialogue between the two of them. And it looks to me like they brought Tamira Morrison in and gone, right, let's just shoot this again. And instead of you saying me, just say her. And so they've just sort of reshot all these relationship scenes, all these sequences that I think would have been between Arthur and Mira. And instead of now between, you know, I'm not sure what Tamara Morrison's character's name is, and Jason Momoa, Dad, yeah, Papa.
Can I interject for a second?
Yeah, of course.
You're paying way too much attention to an Aquaman movie.
Well, no, I know. But that, as I said to you, Deej, haven't I said to you before, if you're paying attention to this stuff, you're not focusing on the movie. The drama's not working. Yeah, so I'm thinking of that, it's because there's not a lot else going on.
And
all the way through, I was just thinking, oh, she clearly had dialogue there, and it's just silent. And she was clearly going to talk there, silent. And so you can, and it's so clear. They haven't even tried to hide it, I don't think.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so the story is all over the place. And I mean, just for the life of me, I could not understand, you know, why you start this stuff. And also the other giveaway is whenever you can see, you know, a film has had a troubled production history when there are multiple scenes, of characters walking or flying or moving left to right in the distance, and there's voiceover. Nothing says we're trying to fix the holes in this, and we're trying to put something together that makes no sense. Then loads and loads of scenes of people walking in the distance and voiceover. Because it's like, we haven't got those scenes. We didn't shoot them. We had to just stick this together. And there's loads of them in this. Absolutely loads. And I think you might have said before, there's ADR in this as well. It's blatant where there are characters clearly talking, and what's coming out of their mouths is not what they were saying.
No.
So there's lots of that as well. So it's nonsensical. It's rubbish as a story. However, having said that, boy, does it look and sound good.
Yes.
Now, I read a review that said this was shot in 8K. Now, I'm not sure if that's necessarily correct. It was not necessarily a prestigious reviewer, but that's what it mentioned. And so this is a 4K native, well, it's not native 4K then, is it? But it's a derivative of the 8K down to a 4K master. And I think it shows, and there is certainly some footage in this, particularly a fight on the beach. Well, I said a beach. Yeah. I think, which looks incredible. To the point where you can reach into the screen. I mean, it looks like what it is, which is IMAX footage, and it looks stunningly good and that kind of stuff. And there's lots of that throughout the movie. It's very colorful. There's a lot of various locales and different. I mean, they've thrown all kinds of crap at the screen and it's good looking crap.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Look at the colors just even in the graphic we have up. It's just, it was just so vibrant. It was, the best scenes from The Flash, it felt like this was like that entire thing, like visually, right? The Flash had it not in flashes, but it had some really, really good scenes that were like super vibrant. But then there were other times in the movie where it kind of, you know, leveled out a little bit, but this here, because it's so CGI heavy, that jungle scene when they're running, and that's not a lot of CGI. I don't imagine. I mean, maybe they filmed it in a jungle or something, but it's like the vibrancy of that is just insane. And then and the creatures that are around them were, those are obviously CGI, but I mean, I thought it looked, for a movie that's so heavily CGI'd, I think John and I said this, it didn't look bad. It looked really good. That's why I think they shot it so vibrant to help mix, and then they get to play with more colors when they're doing the CGI.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's no questioning, the video of this in my view. I mean, I think it, to a certain extent, it's to its detriment, and not always in terms of the CGI. I mean, Black Manta's kind of upgraded costume looks kind of ridiculous. The way I described it to a friend of mine is it looks like, in The Running Man, Jesse Ventura has to suit up as one of the gladiators, whatever you want to call them, and he's got this kind of metal arm thing, and it looks kind of silly, and it's supposed to look silly. And that's what Black Manta's costume that's been upgraded looks like.
Yeah.
It just looks fake and silly and kind of, like it's just made out of, tin foil, not made out of kind of metal. And that's the 4K just kind of showing it for what it is. So video wise, it looks fantastic. I mean, I can't really criticize how it looks. And it sounds great as well. There's some really nice kind of, beefy sound effects and action scenes and all the rest of it. So this to me is a pure home theater experience. Everything else, the story is just crazy, ludicrous, silly. Again, I also found myself wondering about where all the henchmen have come from. Because they've all got these perfectly fitting uniforms. And I was thinking, well, how exactly who designed those?
Yeah,
who fitted them for it? And what's the pension plan like? And how much are they getting paid? And again, if you're thinking about that sort of stuff, you're not concentrating on the narrative because it's not working. So it looks great, sounds great. And for that, I suppose I'd recommend the disc. But I think you've got to go in with very low expectations story-wise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. everything you're saying is true. I found the story to be fun and funny because of the way it was. It's like you knew going into this, it was the last one of the DC EU. Never mind of Aquaman or anything else. It's like, they're just like, we can do anything we want because we're not getting another one. We're not trying to get, this is like a lame duck president. It's like, I can do what I want and you can't, I'm done anyway. So that's what they just had fun with it. At the end of it, there was some scenes at the end that I'm like, are they going to go there? Are they going to do some, I thought they would, but they didn't. But Mark V saying in the chat, he's like, yep, it was still a fun movie. Really goofy, but fun. And then Steve Att's like, I need to rewatch. Oh, Steve Att was in the Patreon chat too. Steve Att was in the
Patreon chat. Sorry, Steve.
Steve says, I need to rewatch it. I sat through it, but the story didn't stick with me. It'll never stick with you, Steve. It's like the story's not going to stick with you. But it's entertaining. But in the home theater side of it, oh my God. I can definitely see myself revisiting this every maybe year, 2 years, just because it's just so much fun.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, Fred says it's an all over place type movie. And I think it shows. Yeah. I think it has been, it's a Frankenstein movie without a monster. Everything's just been assembled from bits.
Yeah.
And I think I'm sure that when this was shot, there was a coherent narrative and, you know, it's all fine. But I think what's happened since is for whatever reason, and we don't know, and we're not going to speculate, certainly not on air, is that, that, you know, for whatever reason, it's been chopped and cut and edited and messed around with and for whatever reason. And that, I think, in some films, you could kind of get away with that. Yeah. But I think in this film, it is very apparent from the opening monologue. It's clear that this has been, there's lots of different directions that this was being pulled in. And I've read loads of behind the scenes stuff about it and, you know, storylines that, that they shot and didn't carry on with. And it was a lot nastier at times as well. I mean, things were done in this that are hinted at in the final one, but they didn't do it in, you know, they shot it, but decided to step away from it in terms of Arthur's son and things like that. That were shot. But they just thought, no, do you know what? No, let's not go there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm glad I've seen it. It's staying in the collection. It's not midwaying. It is going to stay
it's
in there.
Not midwaying.
I think that's a verb, isn't it?
I guess.
It is now. And so it's going to stay in the collection. Midwaying. I may well give it another go at some point because I did, you know, enjoy how it looked and sounded.
Yeah.
But you've got to, this is one that it's not so much leave your brain at the door as, you know, take your brain out and liquefy it, quite literally in the case of Aquaman, and then, you know, try and put it back together at some point in the near future because there's just nothing really to sort of get into with it. But as I said, home theater, and that's what we're here for. It says it right on the shirt.
Yeah.
Is great.
The experience,
you know, it's a Warner's disc. It's good. Yeah. So yeah,
definitely.
In that respect, you know, there is no argument, but everything else.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I had fun with it. And like I said, I'll revisit it when I get a chance.
And John did too.
Yeah, we both saw it in the theater. And it was okay. I mean, like I said, it's nothing. I'm not going to be like, oh my God, it's awesome. It was very, choppy, convoluted is what everybody said. Chopped up, kind of confusing, but that's what they were doing, you know, so.
I mean, in fairness, Jordan, I think said earlier as well, if I can find it. So he does say, so he liked it. He said, say what you will about it, but at least it got released and didn't become the latest victim of WB's tax write-offs. And that, in fairness, is certainly right. I mean, they did release it. And at one point, I think, bearing in mind all the other stuff that was going on, I suppose at some point, somebody at Warner Brothers thought, could we maybe get away with this? But, you know, they did release it. We got to see it. So, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, what did it end up making? It's like,
oh, I mean, gosh. I think it actually didn't make 400, 500 million. It did.
Really?
I think, but of course, I think it made quite a bit of money, but the production budget was very high because they were reshooting for, what, two years?
They made something like three movies.
So I think they were shooting. So I think it cost them a lot, but last I read, it was about 400, 500 million, something like that. But if you spent 300 million on it, then, you know, you're not making your money back. But there it is.
People still it's comic book movies. That's the thing.
Yeah. I mean, it is a shame though that, cause I'm one of these people that I actually think the DCEU had some really solid movies. Some of them were really good. And I think that it's a shame that it ended on a whimper, not a bang. You know, it's a shame that it kind of went out this way. Because I think it was the universe was better than that. And as I said, some of the movies I thought were really, really good. What would be your favorite of the DC? Bear in mind, we're now waving goodbye to the DCEU, Deej. What would be your favorite one of them all? Just curious.
Not even close. Snyder Cut.
Yeah.
The Snyder Cut.
Yeah.
I love what he did. I love the, I mean, I even liked the original before we got the Snyder Cut, but then getting the Snyder Cut and getting the behind the scenes stuff. But close second would be Man of Steel, then Batman v Superman, the Snyder version. And then I think Wonder Woman, the first Wonder Woman, I would say one of my all time, like absolute favorite scenes of the entire DCEU is when Wonder Woman drops in Batman v Superman. Remember, it's like, remember at the end and that music. That gives me chills every time I see it. It's a demo scene. When I saw that in the theater, I couldn't wait to replay that. And even just thinking about it right now, it's like later, I'm like, I got to go in and grab that one. I'm like, that scene, when she drops in and they're like, I thought she was with you. It's like, yeah, it's a great scene between the three of them. But yeah, just the drama and what they did there with that character and introducing her, because at that point, she'd just been Diana up until then, right? And then when she drops in, I mean, it's one of the greatest introductions. And then even in Wonder Woman, when she does that minefield, that's incredible.
Yeah, that's great. That's No Man's Land. That's a demo
scene,
yeah.
Right? And then Wonder Woman 1984 that's where it all started going downhill to me. Even like, I enjoyed them all, but they all were just, it just dropped off from there.
Yeah, I think Wonder Woman, that scene, but Wonder Woman, the first one, was the first post-calibration 4K movie that I watched in Cinema George.
Oh, really?
Because I just had it like that day or a couple of days before. And yeah, it was just like, wow, bearing in mind we'd seen it pre-calibration and then post-calibration, just this stuff was incredible. Yeah, it was great. Yeah, very, very good. Here we go. Just
you're
to
pulling
answer
it up. I saw it too, question.
Yeah, so $434 million on a $205 million budget. So, yeah, so an eventual profit maybe, but not the kind of money that they wanted. Bearing in mind, the original was, what, $1.2 billion? So, this is a big drop-off for a much bigger budget. So, yeah, no wonder they thought it was bad.
Dom didn't like the Snyder Cut. Loved all the Snyder. Yeah, did not care for the Snyder Cut.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No, I mean, some people really didn't. They, what I like about stuff like that, and especially like I said it on the show before about, listening to him, talking with Rogan, and I think the Snyder Cut is like, for all intents and purposes, pre-Snyder Cut, everybody was like, the fans, like, we want his vision, we want his version, and then his whole personal life behind the scenes that led to all of this. Not that if any of that hadn't happened, we would have got the Snyder Cut originally, because I don't want to meander on about this, but what I love about it is it shows the difference between corporate Hollywood and the artist in Hollywood. Right.
Yeah.
And it's like Snyder has a vision, love him or hate him, or love the vision or hate the vision. They have a vision. But then the corporate side is like, well, we got to do this and we want to market it and we want to do that. And it's like, it really is difficult and it's fun. I really appreciate people like Zack Snyder that fights against that and is like, I don't care. This is what I want to make. Right. And it's like, it's imagine if somebody like, if Brightside Home Theater got bought out and they started telling us what we had to do, and you'd be like, I don't know. I would never, ever, ever. I couldn't do that. It's like, because I couldn't. One of my favorite things, one of the things I was afraid of, and John and I talked about this in high school, it was like, what do you want to do as an artist when you graduate from college? And I'm like, I don't know. It's like everybody, because I don't want to be told what I got to do. And that's why I leaned towards, I was actually going to be a teacher so I could teach. And then, and you got the supplies from the school. So you didn't have to, I could do my own thing, but I'm not bright enough to get the teacher side of it. So, but it's so hard as an artist. And I see what my brother does and I see what other artists do. And it's so hard to do that stuff and be told what to do when you have a vision in your head. And it's Lucas goes through it, Cameron goes through it, Snyder goes through it. Those are the ones we know publicly. So Night, Rachel.
Night, Rachel.
Put her to sleep. Sorry.
Sweet dreams.
Sweet dreams. All right.
I mean, I agree with your assessment of the, you know, things. I think the Snyder Cut is fantastic of Justice League. And I think the first, the Joss Whedon version was not for me. I was pretty, you know, unhappy with that. Dom says, gives us something similar in the chat. I think the Snyder Cut is a work of art.
Yeah.
He said goodnight to Rach, not to us, I don't think.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if he was going
to everyone.
It's yeah. Even later to him now.
He's an hour ahead
of you. Yeah.
Yeah, he is. So I think the Snyder Cut's awesome. You know, and just totally 180s the movie, and it gives it this visual aesthetic with the 4:3, you know, the IMAX ratio, as it were, that makes it all the more interesting because of it. And fixes so many of the problems with the other one. So I think the Snyder Cut's, I think that's right. Yeah. And again, I would agree. Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, the director's cut or ultimate edition, whatever you want to call it. And then Wonder Woman. Yeah. I mean, I would agree with those. It is a shame that it ended the way it did, but still we got some great stuff.
Oh yeah. But even,
okay.
Yeah. And even Joss Whedon's version, it's not, I don't put the blame on him. It's like you know what I mean? His hands were tied. Mm. It's like he had to come in last minute and then what leg does he have to stand on to tell the studio the vision he wanted to make or whatever? Or maybe that was, but it's like, how do you deal with that? It's like I think it's a great example for us to look back at and go, when we don't necessarily get the movie that we think we wanted or whatever, there's reasons for it. It's like, you can't always just look at the director and go, wow, he screwed that one up. You don't know what kind of parameters he was under, you know, or her.
Well, I mean, Whedon came in halfway through and was given a load of footage and told, make a movie out of that.
Yeah.
You know, and then
I think it was even later than halfway. It was like three quarters of the way because of everything that went on.
So. And you think someone comes in and goes, right, you know, here's your release date, one. Here's your assembled footage, two. Oh, by the way, you can't have your main actor for the last bit. You're going to, because he doesn't look like that anymore. He's got a beard now and he's not allowed to shave it. So good luck with that. What am I supposed to do?
Mustache. Oh my God. It's brutal.
Yeah. It must. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, poor.
Remember
so-and-so.
That? It's like, and they did. Oh man, they did get a shot of it. Remember, that was one of the opening scenes. Remember the shot with the mustache and they talking to the kid and they put it in video camera mode.
Yeah.
And they put it in video camera mode just so that it would look wonky for a reason, but you could, oh my God, it looked awful.
But, yeah, it was not good.
let's go up on the roof. Take care. Mm-hmm. I think I told you last week. Did I tell you last week I had a leak?
It was all shingled. Yeah, it was all shingled.
Yeah, it was shingled, but I had a leak coming in from the, we got plenty of rain, so it was good to see the test. So I had to get up there and put some flashing tape on it. But, so I took some pictures while I was up there and it's actually not that bad. It's like, this is the farmer's porch right here. So you can see, I don't know if you can see this on the stream, but my ladder's right there. It's like a 12-foot, you know, drop, but that's a nice easy pitch. And then the roof is only an 8 pitch, which isn't bad. So I got up there, did some, repairs, took some pictures, and that's what it looks like. So this is like all of this here, the zip tape, they didn't do. So basically what was happening is that the roofers, they put this on and the flashing here, the silver stuff you see, it was just basically flapped out and exposed, waiting for siding. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to stone this, but all the water would just run down here and go right inside the house. It would go under the flashing, excuse me, and then leak down the shingles and then under the shingles on the plywood that's on the roof. And then at the plywood seams, that's where the water would pour in. And it was happening on all four sides. So, I got up there, did this, fixed it all up. It literally got a huge storm the next day. Perfect. It's like not a leak. So very, very happy. Another thing I don't have to stress over anymore. Craig, the awesome. Well, perfect pitch. Yeah. Not my singing ability.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, there's no damage like water damage. So, yeah, you don't want to leave something like that for to carry on, that's for sure.
No, absolutely not. That's not good. All right. Which of your next would you like to do, Steve?
I'm easy like a Sunday morning. I always say it's dealer's choice stage. Go on, you take your pick. Take your pick.
There you go.
We've got to do those two in order if we're going to. Yeah, so there we go. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
We'll get these
Sounds
two.
Sounds good.
And there is mention in the chat of the next one. So I think, you know, makes sense.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Okay. Here we go.
Okay, so this is, and it's not evident from the picture,
nope,
because this is another one of those movies where you don't get the title of the film on the menu screen, which is a bit weird. And this is Prometheus, which I dug out of my collection this week to rewatch because obviously Aliens should be coming this week on 4K Blu-ray. So I dug out Prometheus to watch it again. Now, DJ, I know I'm 99% sure you've seen it.
Oh yeah. I saw it in the theater. Okay, I've seen it at home. Hmm. Yeah.
Oh, good.
I really like it.
So. Yeah, I do as a film. So I do like the film. I think I don't think it helped itself by calling itself an alien prequel. I think had it just come out as a sci-fi movie from Ridley Scott and just kind of let the story play out, I imagine this would have done, really, really well. I think where it suffered in the theaters and still kind of suffers to a certain extent to this day is by them calling it an alien prequel. And you then get all your alien fans who butt up against it and say, well, it doesn't match. And then everyone gets upset. But I really like it as a movie. And I don't mind it as an alien prequel. But you know, it is what it is. I enjoyed the film. I think it's good. And it was a lot of fun to watch it again. Like I said, I've seen it in the theater. I think I've seen it twice at home. I think I saw the Blu-ray and then the 4K one came out.
Yeah.
And it still holds up. It's still great fun. And I, you know, absolutely recommend the movie to anyone that hasn't seen it, although I'm sure they have. Yeah. Hey, Francis. Hey, East London. Good man. Right.
Yeah.
Hi, Francis. East London. All right. Anyway, that's probably not how you sound, Francis. And forgive me if I'm, you know, doing an inappropriate accent. Don't think I am. So, so Prometheus is really good. And I'm glad I revisited it now. But what I'm even more glad about is not just how much fun I had watching the film, is this disc is fantastic, Deej.
Yeah.
Really, really good. And I had forgotten, and I've seen my 4K version previously. This is not my first time with the disc. I've had the disc since it came out. And I had forgotten just how good this looks. This is in the kind of Fox golden time where they were releasing movies like The Revenant, like this, which just were polished and gorgeous looking discs. And of course, when you marry that quality with Ridley Scott's direction and production design and all the rest of it, you end up with something like this. I think video wise, this is pretty close to reference, if not actually reference. It's gorgeous. And I didn't spot any problems with black levels, with any kind of, you know, macro noise or any picture deficiencies at all. It looked fantastic. And it looks great from the opening shots right through to the end. And you've got all the star fields and you've got all this stuff. It really does look amazing. And I mean, these pictures, I mean, as I'm seeing them here, are quite pixelated, but you know, if you see them, how I took them and I did put them up on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, really good. And actually quite a nice indication as to how good the disc looks. It looks fantastic. So looks great. Now the sound is not in Atmos. This is in DTS HD 7.1. Which Fox did quite a bit back in the day. Revenant's the same. So again, DTS HD 7.1 master audio. But of course, it's up next to Neuralex anyway. And it sounds great. You know, you get the sandstorm that you just sort of see a little glimpse of in that picture that was up a minute ago. You know, you get the very cool little drones, the pups, as he calls them, as Sean Harris calls them, you know, all moving around the spacecraft, and they sound great and they go right into the distance and they come right past you and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's great. And, you know, the ickiness of the cesarean sequence and all that kind of stuff has never sounded more gruesome than in this. So it really is good. Now, and I get the criticisms. I get that people, you know, bump up against the fact that it's an Alien prequel. And as I say, the seams don't quite match, even with Covenant, which I watched again. Now, I think I saw that on 4K to talk about the week that we didn't do the show, DJ. I think I might have skipped it. But I did see it recently before I realized Aliens was coming. So I won't be watching that again. I don't need to. I've only just seen it. But so I get that people bump up against it. I get that some people really don't like it, which is fine. But I think it's really good. And I think you do yourself a disservice if you don't at least check out the 4K disc, because it looks and sounds fantastic. But yeah, so what's your view on it, Deej? What do you think in terms of the movie and how it looks and sounds and from what you could recall?
Yeah, same thing. It's like I haven't seen it in. I know I have the disc. I don't have it on Kaleidoscape. I can't remember the last time I watched it. This Covenant, I haven't really revisited a lot, but I do remember. Like Joe and I see these in the my son Joe and I see these in the theater when they come out, because we're just like. We just love the sci-fi and the alien, the whole alien thing. We actually liked like that part of it. It's like, I remember seeing it in the theater and hearing people complain about it and stuff. And we were both like, what the, it's like, you know, like we don't get it. It's like, but like you said, the alien fans come out with their expectations and it's just too, you know, too stringent or whatever, but. The home theater side of this thing, it's like I'm looking at it right now on Kaleidoscape. I'm like, I should get it. And I'm like, and you know, it's so fun. Speaking of which, did you see Kaleidoscape just came out with their 96 terabyte?
Massive.
I'm like, oh my, is it 96 or 97? I don't know what it was. It's insane. Yeah. And I was just like, perfect. Just what I need. More movies. And I don't have time to watch them. Never mind. Afford the night. I don't know what they cost or anything yet. It's funny. I talked to Todd this morning and I saw him tweeting about it, but we were talking this morning before it dropped. And, so I haven't talked to him since. I don't know if he found out about pricing yet, but, I know the 88 terabyte one, which has just been replaced was, I think that was like 24 or 25,000. So the 96, 97 is going to be like, probably right around there.
Dollars or pesos?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Well, you know, pesos could be quite a bit cheaper.
Do you know what's really funny? And they have a package. It's like the ultimate Kaleidoscape package, I think they call it or something. And it's you buy two 97 or whatever it is, terabyte drives, and it comes with every movie in the Kaleidoscape collection. And I don't even know what that, I just saw, I'm like, that's awesome. If you can afford that, I'm like, why not? And I know there are people that can. It's like, I've worked at some high-end car dealerships and you see these cars go out the door consistently and you're like, I could never afford one of those cars in my life. I'm talking $250,000 cars, right? And they sell them weekly. Just boom, there goes another one. There goes another one. There's so much money out there. Not in my house. Trust me.
Well, to be fair, Deej, all your money's in your house.
Quite literally. But yeah, so yeah, second mortgage Kaleidoscape bundle. Yes, Steve. Yep, Steven at in the chat.
Yeah, so Paul Hurd says about Prometheus, it gets a bit better on rewatch. Expectations lower a bit each time until I'm okay with it. I think it's better than that. I think that's a little bit
entertaining. And the whole theater side of it is really good.
And you've got Dom says, I hated the scene with the scientists petting the space cobra. Yeah, I get that. And those guys are supposed to be smart. I get that. And it is a bit odd, but it's still, but I think the stupidity of that, and let's face it, most horror films, characters don't really behave as you would in real life. Because in real life, you're going the other way. You're running for the hills. Or in real life, in the middle of space and you hear a strange transmission, you don't go, do you know what? Let's go see what that's all about.
Right.
You tend to avoid that in real life. So on the understanding that stupid stuff happens in, because that's part of the drama, it's the only way the story is moved forward, that scene's actually quite a difficult scene to watch. When the arms break and then the thing's like, and it's a compound fracture too. So you see the bone. And as anyone who's ever broken a bone, and I broke my leg playing rugby, it was the end of my less than glittering rugby career. Anyone knows that sound, that cracking noise.
Yeah.
And it gives me the willies every time.
Yeah.
So if you forgive the stupidity of how it starts, how that scene unfolds is just gruesome. I still think this film is better than a lot of people give it credit for, but you know, whatever else we say about it, it's a good home theater experience. So, well worth seeing. I say, actually, Dom also says, Mark V. So yes, Mark V. Great disc as well. Alien Covenant. It is a good disc. Yes. I, as I said, I think I saw it the week we then didn't do the show, so I didn't get to talk about it.
I completely agree.
Yeah, fantastic looking, sounding. You know, really good disc. And I like that film as well. For how, even though it's City Again, it's still got some great stuff in that. And I agree, Dom. One of the reasons Prometheus and everything is back on the radar isn't just because of the Aliens disc. Alien Romulus is coming, I think, in August, from Fede Alvarez, which should be awesome because there's a man who can do gore and just gonzo bug nuts horror. So it really could be great. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah. All right. You want to roll great. Into your right?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Alien.
Right. Yeah, that's it right here. There you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. Okay, so this again, guys, apologies, ladies and gents, for this is Alien. Not that you can tell from that picture, because again, it's full motion video menus and no picture. So I had to go online. I couldn't find a landscape poster picture. So I literally had to just snag this one. And it's an image I hadn't seen before, actually. So I thought, ooh. Looks a bit different. Cool. It's unusual, isn't it? So this is then Alien, the 1979 classic that no one is about to suggest anything other than is a classic, on 4K UHD and in DTS HD 5.1 master audio, again, upmix to Neuralex, again, as we always say. Have you seen this, Deej?
Oh, God, yeah. I did a whole show on it.
Yeah, I know. I'm kidding. Everyone who's anyone in movies has seen Alien. Even if you're not a horror fan, even if you're not a science fiction fan, everyone, I'm sure, has seen Alien. Yeah. And so the movie is great. I've seen it more times than I can count. I've seen it on, you know, VHS. I've seen it on DVD. I've had the Blu-rays and obviously now the 4K disc. And this is the 2003 director's cut. Which even though it doesn't really make sense with what comes later on, it's still nevertheless a really, really good, edition of the movie. Film's great. Love this movie. Oh. It's very, very well done. Loads of different ways you can read it. The subtext is all over the place as well, which is really interesting. But also it's just a great, taut, haunted house in space movie that plays like gangbusters. It's never boring, never dull, never kind of take your eyes off the screen. It's great. And it's still every bit as good. And this is the reason I watched it, not just because of Romulus. As I said, this week, it's over the Atlantic. My copy of Aliens is on its way. That's obviously the 4K disc. And so next week, as I said earlier, a camera and a Rama, because True Lies arrived yesterday. So I'll be watching both of these this week. Looking forward to next week. So I thought I'd watch this. Video wise, fantastic. It's a very, very good remaster. And actually, Deej, this is one that I don't think for once I've heard many complaints about. Because we're really used to these remaster an old film and then loads of people go, you know, that one shot at 2 hours and 1 minute for half a second is slightly out of focus. I can't remember seeing any complaints about this or reading any complaints.
But it wasn't Cameron. Cameron comes with that reputation. Yeah. So people were complaining about, you know, they were actually complaining about Titanic, Aliens, True Lies, and The Abyss. Before we got them. it's like so when you already come in, all based off of Terminator 2, because other than that, it's like, what else did we really get? And so their expectations were already set, and then now they just want to be proven right. Right. Look at that. Mm. See, I told you. I'm like, here we go.
Wow.
So yeah. I think that's a lot of it. This one came out and it is gorgeous. I remember the textures. I remember the detail, the depth and detail in the black level. And just, oh my God, it was so good, but it had nobody had any preconceived of, it's ruined.
Well, yeah, but the grain aficionados, both for and against, neither of them seemed to be moaning about it. No one kind of was kicking off and going crazy. And for good reason, because I think it's really, really nice, very organic looking movie, and it does look like film, but not obtrusively so. It doesn't karate kid it at any point. You know, you never kind of, oh God, I've got to just get used to this. It just looks fantastic throughout. And so that's great. And then the audio is fantastic as well. I particularly like the sequence with the cat, Jonesy the cat, and I can't think of the name, but Harry Dean Stanton's character, I should know his name, I've seen it enough times, but that whole sequence in the landing gear area, where you've got the water coming down from above, all the water and the chains clinking above you, and all of that just beautifully mixes into the overheads, and it really does feel like you're in this huge cavernous area. And anyone not knowing, by the way, that is supposed to be the landing gear. That's what that is. Those are the feet that come down when they land. That is what those are. I learned that in the DVD commentary all those years ago. So those are supposed to be the feet that come out. That's what those things are that are hanging. I think all that sequence is great. All of the kind of the opening sort of unusual sort of noises in space sound great as well. It's an awesome disc, and absolutely cannot recommend this enough. And it's just nicely set me up ready for the awesomeness that is the Alien Special Edition as soon as it lands.
as soon as possible.
Cannot wait.
When you put this image in our folder, it's like this helmet. And I remember seeing, that's what I remember talking about in the show and the podcast, is that the detail and all of that who puts that amount of, like, I think I might've said like hieroglyphics or whatever in a space helmet, right? Like all of that detail, that decorative detail going around that helmet, it looks, oh my God, everything. There was so much stuff to see in this that honestly, when this came out on 4K, it's like, it's funny because I've done a lot of A-B-ing over the last 4 or 5 years, with 4K coming out and for the show. And it's like almost like 99% of the time you'll see something that you've never seen before. And then you go back to the Blu-ray or go back to the DVD and, oh, there it is. It's there. It's just not as clear and pronounced. So when you do get the 4K, you're like, oh, wow, look at that. It's just so clear. You just see so much more.
And what's staggering to me, we've talked about it before and recently as well, is that the foresight from the production designers, the directors, the cinematographer, because this only gets lit, the DP, this only gets lit in a certain way. So in 1979, these guys are thinking, look, we need to make this look good, because whilst you aren't going to see this now, somewhere down the line, you actually might be able to see this stuff. This might resolve to a point where you could tell it. Cameron did the same thing with Titanic. You know, you could read the Royal Dalton details on the China, you know, in mid shots, and you could see it in 4K. You could forget it on Blu-ray or anything less than that. So the foresight in these filmmakers' minds to think maybe someday you will see this is quite an achievement, isn't it?
Oh yeah,
because you should be able to see sellotape. You should be able to see, you know, little the joins, and yet you can't. You know, and all this other detail just looks incredible. Yeah. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
Very, very pleased with this. I think it's great. And again, just nicely set me up ready for the big one. Which is Aliens. By the way, DJ, choice between the two, Alien and Aliens, favorite between those two?
Aliens. I like Aliens.
Okay.
Yeah, I like
okay, Aliens. Okay, yeah. Better. Is it close? Or is it yes. not,
oh,
not even
very close?
Close.
Very close. Even Aliens 3. I remember seeing that in the theater with a buddy of mine. And I wasn't, at the time, I wasn't big into the Aliens world. He introduced me to that because these came out and they were all rated R when they came out and I wasn't allowed to see them. But then when 3 was coming and we had talked about, I think I was like 18 or 19 when 3 came out, maybe even. I don't know. What year did 3 come out? Do you remember?
1992, I want to say.
Was it 92? So I was 22.
91, 92. Wow. Yeah, yeah, let me double check.
So years ahead of that, me and my buddy were talking, and I was like, all right, I'll check these out. So I bought the VHS, watched them at home, and I loved them. And then obviously getting ready for Aliens 3. But yeah, I think Aliens to me is the more – this Alien was – you know, obviously it's, to me, it's kind of like Star Wars and Empire, but I just don't have, I didn't see Alien first in the theater and wasn't, it didn't set me up like Star Wars did. So that's why I think I kind of like Aliens better. It's, you know, it's, it felt like a more action-y movie to me than Alien, which is a great sci-fi movie, but.
Yeah, see, I'm, it depends on the day of the week and kind of how, what kind of mood I'm in. I'm so close to between the two because I love Aliens because I love the action and I love the gung-ho space marines, all the hardware is
that's
just
what I mean.
Cool. Yeah, typical Cameron, you know, but then you've got the tense horror atmosphere of Alien. And so depending on what mood I'm in will depend on which one I prefer. It's a bit like T1 and T2. Same with that as well. One day I might say the first Terminator because, oh my God, there's some great stuff in that. But then another day it's, oh no, T2. Because again, look at the action, look at the scale of that, you know, and actually very similar movies in terms of a slightly lower
identical
setup.
They're pretty much identical. The storyline, everything. It's like even the action sequences, it just feels like in T2, Cameron got to do everything, like he had the technology to do more of what he wanted to do in 84 with Terminator. So I feel like in that, that's a great comparison. Terminator to T2 and then Alien to Aliens. So it's, I mean, I think Alien is probably the better movie because it's more story driven than action driven. But I love the action of Aliens, you know.
On the dialogue, the whole setup of Aliens, because of course you've not just got one, you've got loads of them now.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, actually, I think who was it that just said, Van Gogh says Alien is sci-fi horror. Aliens is more action with frat boys.
Yeah.
And yet I like that. You know, you know, it's game over, man. You know, all this stuff. And oh, great. Another bug hunt, you know, and all this kind of stuff. I mean, this dialogue is fantastic.
And what's
and if
his
you
name?
Think about
what's
it, it's Vietnam and space. It's just great.
Oh, yeah. But what's his name from, he's in every Cameron movie, right? Forget his name.
Not Bill Paxton?
Yes. He is brutal in Aliens. When was the last time you saw Aliens?
Oh, not within the last 18 months or so. I've seen it loads of times.
Yeah, I have
I know
too.
This backwards, I mean.
But when we got the new 4K, I was just like watching him and his whiny voice. And this is just like, you're just like,
oh, he's great.
Oh my God. Yeah. He's absolutely brutal. And it's like, but then get him in, True Lies. Same guy, same whiny guy. Yeah.
And I should have called him
over the dam. It's like, oh man. Yeah. Oh my God, he's brutal. Yeah. It's awesome. It's awesome.
And then, so Dom in the chat says Alien and Aliens are like peanut butter and jelly, milk and cookies. I love both.
Ham and eggs.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. But if you had to choose, as I said, I think that's like trying to choose between your kids. You know, it's just like, you know, it's impossible.
Sophie's
choice. They're very, very good. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, here we go. So again, Paul says same, can't separate them. Alien, perfect creature horror, Aliens, military action roller coaster. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So very cool. And I can't wait. I honestly, as soon as Aliens lands, I've got a pile of movies 2 feet tall here of things to see. But when Aliens lands, that is first. And then it's True Lies because I just cannot wait.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So, ooh, talking of which, what's all this?
Look at this. So I thought you'd appreciate. I was actually going to send this to you, and I'm like, oh, what the hell? Let's save it for the show because I don't have a lot of home theater stuff to it. So let's bring it to the stage. Everybody, look close. What do you see right there? Go Raging Fire. Can you see those, Steve?
Yeah, I can see them. So Raging Fire, Red Dawn, Ready Player One, Roadhouse, Robin Hood, RoboCop, Rocky. Yeah. Heavyweight Collection.
4K. Oh, yeah. Remember last week?
Well, you did have it. You did have it. And that's because I mentioned it on the show. There it is. Yeah, you did.
I was like, did you see it? There is a 4K. Oh, yeah. And I was like, holy crap, I think I have it.
We've all done it. Less so with a digital device that you can check these things on. But we have all done it.
Yeah. So,
and you know that's worth $60, so I think get that straight on Amazon or eBay.
Yeah, yeah,
so that'll go towards rivets for the house.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't have it in 4K. It's not in 4K on Kaleidoscape.
So, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So no. I have. That's
did you?
What I have.
Did you have a quick look at it? Did you have a chance to see it? Or
no.
Take a quick
no. Check? I was going to, but I was like, I'd get Shawshanked, and I didn't have time.
Yeah.
I'd be like, and all
it is
right.
One of those films.
Yeah. So it's, but yeah, I was like, I swear, I was like, oh no. So, and it took me a couple days to even remember to go and look. And I was like, so I'm looking at the alphabetical and I was like, are you kidding me? There it is.
Now that you mention it, I think I remember you buying it while I was talking about it. Isn't this one of those ka-ching moments?
It might have been.
Might have been. Yeah.
It's really hard to to remember all of them like that. So, but yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
So I do have a Roadhouse in 4K.
When you get round to it, it'll be good to AB it. I think you'll be very pleased with the 4K disc. It is significantly better than I'd ever seen it. I've had the Blu-ray and everything else. So yeah, that was great. Just, you know, don't show it to anybody from the Dork podcast. Because I think they've had enough of the words Roadhouse.
Well, they love they love that one, the original one. And that's part of that's the biggest part of their issue is they love it so much that they're like, how can you desecrate such a great movie? I go, I don't think it does. So.
Just before I forget, Dee, just whilst you're looking up your next picture. So Greg, the awesome ninja, someone who I think you know,
I know.
Just asked earlier and I didn't mention it. So I'll just say, he says, Steve, have you tried hooking up your Lenovo handheld to the theater yet? Or is the PlayStation just better? This is referring to, I've got a Lenovo Legion Go handheld PC, gaming PC that I bought this week, which I've never owned before, anything like that. And I've been messing around with it. It's great fun. But to answer the question, Greg, no, I haven't, because I don't think it would upscale very well from an 8.8 inch, 8.9 inch screen to a 75 inch screen. I don't think it'll scale too well, and I think it'll show some of the issues. On an 8.8 inch screen, it looks fantastic, but you zoom it up to that, and I think there'll be potential issues. And the PS5 is better for that size screen, I think. But in terms of the machine itself, love it. Yeah, it's really good. Nice. There we go. Just thought I'd mention that before I forgot.
There you go. And Jordan says, he goes, DJ, I see that, like me, you also own the Australian Blu-ray 3D release of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Yes. Yes. I love 3D movies, especially in my theater on the big screen. It's a lot of fun. I haven't done that in a little bit. I kind of waned a little bit on that. But you want to see the shot you mentioned earlier? We'll bring this up. I think it'll play. Let's see if the sound plays on this. So I'll play it. There you go. So I sent this to my son.
Yeah, I can't hear the audio.
Oh, you can't?
No, I can't hear it.
I could hear it.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, it's oops, wrong button. Nope. Yeah, it's a RAM set. For driving nails into concrete. So, just the 22 22 caliber, and but it's automatic. So I sent that to my son. Then I also sent it to you. I was like,
yeah. Oh yes.
Lots
Which
of fun.
I showed to some people today who were like, that is cool.
You so, heard it though, yeah. Right? You could hear it. Yeah.
It's, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Pretty, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty
yeah,
good sound.
It's class. Yeah.
Yeah. And you get, yeah, it's like boom. Yeah. Mm. Cause you have, I did the old, like, I don't think this existed at the time, this RAM set. I got the cheap one, which is like you load the charge in the end, you put the nail in, and then you strike it with a hammer. But you got to hold it with your hand and hit it. And if you don't hold the pressure, it doesn't drive the nail as much as it drives your hand back, right? So you're like leaning, hitting. And then when you try to get into some weird areas, it's hard to do, or you're trying to put a stud like up against the concrete, the foundation up high, it just doesn't work. So this set here, I'm like, I bought this a while ago, knowing I'd be doing the house. And it was like, it's like $200, $250 for the set, but I'm like, I'm not messing around. I just want to, and you put the charges in, just like it's a clip. You put them in, they come out the top when they discharge, and you're like, and I'd never used it, right? So I opened the case up, and this wasn't my first shot when I videoed, but I like the first time I went to do it, I was like, nothing. I'm like, okay, what do you do? I'm like, I don't know what to do. And the instructions are in the case, but you're not going to read that.
Yeah, instructions.
You just keep messing around.
That's for other people.
Until you shoot a nail into your forehead or something stupid. But so I'm just like, I keep trying, and I don't know if you could see in the video, in the picture here, it's yeah, it's hard to see in the picture, but I got the Bose earbuds in, which are really good noise canceling. So no sound on. I just had them in, and it did a pretty good job of, you know, drowning out the shot. But yeah, I remember I'm like, cause the first one, you're like, oh, what kind of kick am I going to get out of this? And I was like, oh, really nice. Cause it actually is a sound suppressor in it too. So after that, I didn't even use it, but the earpieces, but so nice, so much nicer than what I used to use.
How long did it take you to realize there's no full auto on it?
Oh, right away. That's, yeah, exactly. Now, we all have fun with that stuff, shooting nail guns. Like, you got to hold it because they have the safety. You have to push it in. This one here, you can't. You actually have to push down, and there's no way for you to shoot that out public, you know. But even like a regular like nail gun, what you see in the movies, we were laughing about it when we were working. We were shooting them, and I could shoot you from like 5 feet away, and they're just, the nail would just bounce off you. There's not enough there for you.
Again, not like the movie.
I think Lethal Weapon or something.
Lethal Weapon 2, isn't it?
They shoot somebody. Yeah.
Yeah, through the
it wouldn't work.
Plastic.
There's not enough weight behind the nail and enough power. Now, if you went up to them and used the nail gun on and pushed it into them, it might go out the other side. There's enough pressure there. But,
well, we've all seen No Country for Old Men. We know how that all works.
Yeah. You know, I shot myself with a nail gun.
Well,
my
deliberately?
Brother-in-law did. Not deliberately.
Goodbye, cruel world.
No. Double shot into my ankle. One into the 2x4. I was forming a driveway, and I was showing my buddy how to do it. And I go, here, put your foot here. You got to hold the stake. I go, just be careful it doesn't double shot and hit you in the ankle. And I go, boom. And it goes, boom. And I go, see? And he looks and he goes, like that? I didn't even know I did it. And the thing was sticking right out of the bone on my ankle. I was like, whoops. Well,
as a result of the aforementioned rugby injury, I've got nails in my kneecap and nails in my ankle and titanium right through the fibula. But you know, not those kind of nails.
Yeah, no. No, it was, at the time, it didn't hurt. I just pulled it out and went back to work, kept working. And as long as I was working, I was fine. But I had a wedding that night, and the drive, it was like a 45-minute drive to the wedding. And when I went to get out of the car, I couldn't even walk on it. So I sat through the church in like excruciating pain. And then we hit like a CVS, you know, drugstore on the way, grabbed a bunch of ibuprofen, had two or three beers, and then I was dancing. I wasn't driving home, but I was dancing. My ankle felt better.
Man. So, ouch.
Yep.
Yes, as Dom says, ouch.
Ouch. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, do you play with the gun like Happy Gilmore? We do.
Yeah.
Nobody's taken one on the head yet.
Yeah.
Ouch. All right. Ouch. Let's get back to a home theater experience. I could go on all day with how many times I've hurt myself. All right. Now, this one surprised me to see in the list.
Yes.
Didn't we just do this, like, all three of us?
On me, Blu-ray.
You, and John?
On Blu-ray. You did it in 4K.
Okay.
On mine was Blu-ray. So hence the reason.
Yeah. Well, that was a good big market tease. Let's bring it to the stage. Oh, there it is.
Okay. Yep. So this, again, apologies for the picture, guys. This is a full moving menu, although hence the blurry hand thing there. But at least it does say the title. Yeah. It says Green Room, which is good. And that is what this is. So this is the new re-release in the UK. First time on 4K Blu-ray disc. Unfortunately, though, we don't get Atmos. We only get DTS HD MA, albeit upmixed to Neural X, because, Deej, you've got 4K and Atmos on Kaleidoscope, haven't you? Yeah. So I was hoping we'd get the Atmos, but we don't. But, you know, it's not the end of the world because it's upmixed anyway, and, you know, that's fine. And, yes, we only did it not that long ago, a few months ago, but it was the Blu-ray that I was talking about, which I had rewatched just on a whim. And at that time, I did not know this was coming out in 4K over here on disc. Otherwise, I would have waited. So watching it again, film's still good. Those that maybe have tuned into us since we talked about it should know this is a movie about a struggling kind of punk band. They're just young kids, basically,
kids,
who are touring their way around the US and siphoning off gas to get them to the next place. And they're just a kind of jobbing punk rock band. And little kids, and they end up being stuck in an outback kind of punk bar, I suppose, and they get trapped. And they get trapped because they see something they shouldn't, and then everything unravels from there. And it's got Patrick Stewart in it. Anyway, there's some deep cuts.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Well, he is in the pictures, and he's on the back of the box. I think we're okay. Maybe just this time. But I won't put any pictures up just in case. And it all unfolds from there. And it's a very, very, very well done movie. It's very tense. It's very graphic. There's a lot of gore and blood and guts in this. And it's a really well told and actually, I think, quite believable story. We've talked about silly mistakes and things that characters do in movies. And I think in this kind of resolves itself in quite an intelligent way. You know, there aren't any easy outs for characters in this. People don't just kind of find a way out. Things have to be hard fought, hard won, and characters don't generally make stupid decisions in this. At least I don't think. So I think it's a really intelligent, really taught, well-made thriller, and it's a great film. Now, the 4K is very nice, and I remember you talking quite effusively about the Kaleidoscope quality, and I'm very glad to report that the 4K disc is the same in terms of its video. You notice much more, and funny enough, it's called Green Room. There's a green tint for most of the movie, and the 4K wider color gamut really brings that out more than I'd noticed before. So there's greens that you've got blue tints as well, and it looks great. Really, really detailed. Those gore effects are more nasty than ever. It really does shine. There's a lot of darker sequences in this because, of course, once all things are going wrong, power is cut. Everything is then in sort of dimly lit hallways and interiors, and all that look has been resolved really well in 4K. So it looks great, and I would not go back to the Blu-ray now. This is worth the investment for those that like the movie, or if you're curious about the film, get the 4K disc. Don't bother about the Blu-ray, or get it on Kaleidoscope if you can, on your 97 terabyte hard drive.
I got a 12.
12. Well, you're on your way. Terabyte. You're on your way.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. So you know, it. If you're curious about it, this is the version to see. Audio is really good as well. I mean, it is upmixed. I think it's the same audio track for us that's on the Blu-ray. I didn't notice any obvious changes to it, but that's not to say it's not good. You know, gunshots sound really good. The dogs sound suitably threatening. You know, the ickiness of the injuries and stuff and all that, and the squelchiness of the blood and everything else that's going on is really, really well done. But as I said, we just don't get the extra lossless track. So yeah, really, really enjoyed it. Very, very good. And I recommend this a great deal. And if you want to know more about what we thought about it, then again, there's a show a few months back where we did talk about it, in more detail. And then you hear more about what John thought of it as well as you, Deej. But yeah, it's great. Really, really good.
Yeah, it really was. I was skeptical, I guess, going into it because, you know, I do like horror. But this, like you said, I think it's a, when you were saying it's a smart horror or like smart decisions, I was thinking yes and no, because I think that what they, to say that, I think some people might watch it and go, that's not very smart, but the writing is smart, right? The characters are doing what's true to that type of a character, right? Mm-hmm. Especially like a Patrick Stewart's character. He's unbelievable in this. And in that kind of character, he's smart. He's calculated. But like, you're just like, what the, you know, like there's people like that in the world, right? And just like every character in this, it's like there are people like this. You might not think what they're doing is smart, but they do. And I think, you know what I mean? Like, because there were times I'm watching this going, that was just so stupid. But I would say, but I've said that to people in real life. Like, that was dumb, you know? So, but yes, you're right.
But what the film, and what I mean by a smart movie, the film doesn't do what Aquaman 2 does. You don't
No.
No. But you don't get those tracking shots where people are walking and they're like, right, this is what's going on. This is what we do. The movie, I don't think, ever slows down to pander to the audience. They have their conversations, and if you miss it, bad luck. You know, and they have some quite layered conversations. And Patrick Stewart is one of the ones who's perhaps one of the main culprits of that, who is just going, we're going to do this, we're doing that, we're doing this, and this is why we're doing that, and we're going to sort it out, and you need to do this. At no point do you catch them talking to the audience. Why are we doing this? Well, because we need to. It's just go, go, go. And that's what I mean. It's a smart script. You know, it doesn't pander to the audience. It just shows you, here is the problem and this is what we're going to do about it. And I think that's very clever. And especially for a kind of what would have been this script, I think if just reading it on the page would have been a schlocky B movie. And yet I think this is much more than that. In the hands of Jeremy Saulnier, who's the director, who's very, very clever anyway, I think in his hands and the actor's hands, the way they deliver the dialogue, it elevates it way beyond your normal schlocky home invasion type genre B movie. You know, they're trying to get in. What do? Let's escape. You know, there's much more to this than that. And it stands up to multiple viewings as well. It's all kinds of things you miss the first time, second time, third time. This, I think, was my fourth time seeing it. Really, really good. So I think this is a great film. And I'd recommend some of the other movies that he's done as well. Blue Ruin's really good as well. And you know, those kinds of movies are very, very well worth seeing. Recommended. Those that haven't seen it, definitely give it a go. And I would say go with the 4K. Yeah. Looks as though, so there's some love for it in the chat. So yeah, Dom says loved it, which is really good. I know Jordan did as well. And yes, I think, Dom says this is a second sight release. And, Dom says he's anxiously waiting for their Hitcher 4K release. Yeah. Sometime this year, apparently. So we're all waiting for that. That'll be great.
That's one of my favorite all time favorite movies. Rutger Hauer. Yeah. My God. That.
Yeah, to see Thomas Howland, it's amazing as well. I mean, everyone's just bringing their A game in that.
It's like Hitchcockian, that movie. It's just so isn't it like, it's like Duel, Jaws, just the tension throughout that. I can't wait for that. Yeah. Rutger Hauer was amazing.
It'll be great to see it again. This has been coming for about 2 years. They've been working on the 4K release and working on every now and then Second Sight tweet out a still image and saying, look, it's coming. We are doing this. This is what we're sorting now. And they are really, really kind of, pushing this. So this should be an exceptional release when it comes out. But yeah, that's a day one for me. No doubt about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
No, nope,
that's not the right one. Kaleidoscape hat doesn't even have it.
The Hitcher.
They have the one from 2007.
Oh, yeah, don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. I did see it. I think I've seen that. It's dreadful. And not even a patch on the original.
No. Nope. No, they have the Hitcher from 2007 and they have the Hitcher 2 from 2003. So they probably, you know, hopefully they'll get it. If not, I'm definitely.
Well, they might do nearer the time. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's ever come out on Blu-ray, has it? Or if it has, I've not heard of it.
I don't know. Otherwise, that's for sure.
Yeah, indeed. I think I had the DVD. I think I certainly had the VHS.
Yeah,
I pretty much wore that out. Yeah, it's a great movie. And talk about a nihilistic kind of film where just anything goes, and you can't predict what's going to happen in that film. That is one of them.
Yeah. So, all right, my next update. We are moving right along here. What you saw before was the we'll pull these up here. So when you saw me nailing into the floor, that was over here. This is my gym. Framed this out, started framing the basement, finished the upstairs. There wasn't really anything to take pictures of upstairs. It was just I had to finish some walls. I had to do some door jams and certain things like that. But got the entire upstairs finished, and that great. And then now everything is downstairs. All I have to do is the downstairs, so the basement. And on the other side of this door right here is my parents' side. So that's, I'm not sure if I have to frame that out for the insulation guy or not, or if he just sprays the walls regardless. I'll probably frame it anyways. But I figured I'd start at this door here, work my way around, and then now you could see, now this right here, this is the bathroom. The downstairs bathroom. This wall will continue a little bit over this way. You go through this door here into the gym, and the gym's 22 feet long, but 10 feet wide and 9 feet tall. So that's where we are right now. And, I will be, and this isn't the big news. I'm saving that for after Steve's next movie, but, after I get around this corner, I need to go to wrap the basement framing. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, the theater might be framed by this weekend. It might be framed out because I have to go around that wall. And because of the way I've designed it and for the separation, everything has to take place. So if I get called away to another part of the house by somebody else, cause I got HVAC coming in on Thursday, my brother-in-law is coming tomorrow. You can see down here in this picture that our windows are in. So he's coming tomorrow to show me how to put windows in. We're going to do a couple and then I'll do the rest. So we'll see it, but it's supposed to be pouring rain. So you got to be inside and outside to do them. So we're going to do the farmer's porch area, but anyways. In the rain, I can't work. So I'm hoping to be able to finish framing the entire basement. And, as you do these things, like if you see this picture, right, if you're looking at this picture right here, you see this, that's a backer. So I know that's going to be a wall. So that's where the wall comes out for the bathroom here. And that's how you frame these things. You plan it as you go ahead. And the way I'm doing the theater, I don't have blueprints. So I have to do everything off. You know, like, okay, I want this to be here and I'm going to plan out that wall accordingly. But because it's all separate from the house, not touching anything, so no, you get no, you know, reverberations through the house, I can't just put up a freestanding wall. I have to do all of them because they're all going to hold each other up and then frame. I'm not going to frame every joist across the top for the time being because they're going to be running ductwork and insulation afterwards. So I'll do just a few. And then pop them in after the fact. But yeah, get the whole thing framed out and done by this weekend. So very excited. Mm-hmm. So that should be fun to have some pictures for. And maybe another update as well next week. So
looking good. Looking good.
Yeah. Very. A lot of fun. What did Todd say to me this morning? He's like, he goes, it's so great that you have that skill or something like that. I was like, don't use that term. use the term skill loosely. Cause I was saying to my brother-in-law over the weekend, the family got together for Easter and I said, man, it's so much more relaxing when you're not there because he's the professional. He's the expert, right? So when I do something, if I make a mistake and he's there, you're just like, oh my God, I hope he doesn't see me. I'm just such an idiot. Right. And then, so I said, I go, it's so nice because now I can make the mistakes and all I got to do is just go, ah, screw it. And you just fix it, right? You just fix the mistake. And he goes, I do that all the time. I was telling him I had a problem on one wall and I'm trying to problem solve, trying to get around the piping and everything. And he goes, I stared at it for like an hour and a half trying to figure out how to solve this. And finally, Joe was there. My son was there. I was like, that's it. I got to go home for a second. Went home, grabbed two energy drinks because I still had like 8 hours to go. Two energy drinks, pet the dogs, blah, blah, blah. I went back to the house, walked in the door, looked at the wall, solved it like that. Texted my son. I go, 20 seconds in the room and I figured out how to fix it, right? Solved the issue. 8 hours later, whatever it was, energy drinks never got opened. I just boom, bah, 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 and just start working. Just keep on going. So, and I told my brother-in-law that and he's like, I do that all the time. He goes, you lay in bed going, how do I get this to line up? How can I? And you try and problem solve. And I'm like, so, but yeah, there we go.
But how often does that happen in your home theater as well? Cause that's happened to me many times over the years that, you know, something goes wrong and you're just thinking, I cannot for the life of me work this out. What the hell? And you go to bed. And you wake up the next morning or in the middle of the night, bang, oh, I haven't tried that. And sure enough, that's the thing. The disengaging from it, you kind of get out of your own way, as it were.
Yes.
Think about something else and suddenly your brain is still working on it, it would seem, and then kind of comes back to you with the answer.
Yeah.
It happens to me quite a bit.
Oh my God. And it's that stubbornness. Like, I can solve this. And if you just step away for a second. And like, just relax, calm down, come back to it with fresh eyes and bang. Mm-hmm. It's like, if I told you what the problem was, you'd be like, what the hell? It just seems like such, and what's funny is if anybody walked in the room and I'm like, I can't figure this out. They'd go, do that.
Oh yeah. Duh. It's like, well, like I said, it's getting out of your own way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to not see the wood for the trees. You know, you then kind of realize that you've actually taken yourself out of it. But yeah, no, that happens to me a lot.
That was my early days of home theater. Like when I was still living at my parents' house in the basement and I was trying to, there was no home theater. It was like, how can I get this to work? And I'd be laying in bed going, if I Y split this one and I put it into this one, and like 3 a.m, get up, turn the lights on, wire some stuff behind my system, try it out at a low volume, be like, it worked. Yeah, but you like, it's all that problem solving. And I really, really do enjoy that stuff. As stressful as it is, I do enjoy it because at the end of the day, you've solved most of them. And now, and you have something, whether it's your theater, your house, your wall, your gym wall, whatever it is, right? You figured it out. So, hey, but all right.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, Deej, even if you don't want to think of it as a skill, it is absolutely a skill for you to be able to do this stuff. I'm with Todd on this because as someone who, you know, needs a diagram to put a light bulb in, I think you're doing this is an incredible skill. So I'm
with Todd on that. It's more of a stubbornness.
Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It works, you know. And it does.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. I thought I was being incredibly clever setting up a little PC thing on Sunday afternoon. I thought, wow, look at me. I have peaked. So, you know, building a house, Deej, is just a different world.
it really isn't. It's pretty simple. It's a lot of steps, but you just do each one. And that's the speech I got from Robbie on Saturday or something. It was like, just keep at something and just keep going. Stop. I bounce around, but at the same time. Like I just said to you earlier, if I don't get pulled away, but I have to bounce because not only am I framing right now, I am the framer now, but somebody might ask me like, all right, the plumber might need me to do some, or the HVAC guy needs me. So you have to go take care of that, you know, and it's, and in the, so it's a little different in that way, but I do get what he means. And it was nice to get the upstairs done, and now be working my way around the basement and make, you know, keep focus and stuff. But yeah, it's stubbornness, and where there's a will, there's a way, right? I can't afford to pay somebody to do it. So I gotta figure it out.
So there you go. So what's Paul saying? We were saying last week about necessity is the mother of invention, and that's clearly what we've got there. Anyway, so Paul says, so true. He said, I have a horrible story about an unsolvable technical issue on a recording job, which I solved in the van on the way home.
Right. I think Paul, you told me that one. I think you told me that one once or something, because you were like, it was such, oh my God. But yeah, that's the way it is. It's just all of a sudden it clicks, and you're like, and it's 9 times out of 10, it's an easy solution. It's just you were missing it because you were complicating it with overthinking.
Yeah, well, there is definitely, it shows how little we understand our own brains, let alone the human brain generally, that there are parts of the brain that continue working when the rest of you is moved on to something else, you know, but that part is still there, and it's still ticking over and working the problem, and then presents it to you when it's done, which is incredible, isn't it? I mean, there's probably a psychological term for it, but you know, I don't know it. Yeah. Maybe it'll come to me later.
There you go.
There is definitely a part of you that is always working on it.
Yep. Absolutely.
There you go. Aren't we clever?
Yep. That's what I used to say in high school. I didn't have the answers at the time of the test, but I'm sure I get them later.
Can I get back to you?
Can I get back to you on this one? All right. I am super interested in this one. This is your last one, right, Steve?
Yeah.
I haven't seen this one in years, but it is epic.
Prepare to have your appetite whetted. Get your finger over the ka-ching button, Deej.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Okay, so this, again, sorry guys, it doesn't say the name of the movie on the image for weird reasons, because this is not a full motion video menu. This is the 1996 instant classic Primal Fear.
Oh my god.
Starring Richard Gere, Laura Linney, and of course Ed Norton. And frankly, an all-star cast. But yeah, so Primal Fear, the story of the courageous criminal defense attorney who is not going to take things lying down and is going to fight for his client tooth and nail. Albeit, can I say, in a way that we would not do that over here. All right. So I am not in any way endorsing the approach of Richard Gere's defense attorney in this movie, because you'd get disbarred and you'd probably get sent to prison if you did that in the UK. This is not what criminal defense lawyers in the UK do. Let me just make that perfectly clear. But I can watch this film and I can enjoy this film. Oh yeah, night, Dom. Bye, Dom's heading off. He's having a late one. Yeah, so bye, Dom. Thanks for tuning in, buddy.
All right, buddy.
I think we'll send him to sleep with talking Primal Fear and defense lawyers. So I can watch this film and I can enjoy this, because normally I can't. I can't watch any British legal thriller, legal series, legal drama, whatever you call it. I can't watch them because I get incredibly frustrated very quickly with all of the procedural issues and straight up nonsense that these things come up with. And they all do it, no matter how good their technical advisors might be. If it's British, it's wrong and it drives me crazy. So I can enjoy these, and I put this sort of film up with things like A Few Good Men and, you know, 12 Angry Men and things like that, where I can watch it, disengage the brain, because I don't have to. I can just think, well, it's someone else. It's a different country. Let them do what they do. And so I can enjoy this, and I do really like this film. Now, interestingly, it's very poorly reviewed.
Really?
On IMDb, yeah. It's like 40 something out of 100 on IMDb. Like, and there are some reviews on there saying this is dreadful, borderline unwatchable, one of them said.
I'm looking at Rotten Tomatoes has 77% tomato score, and then the box popcorn is 89%.
You look on IMDb, because I looked it up because I was curious about it. Let me just try and remind myself, because I don't want to get it wrong. Let me have a look. I was really surprised. Where was it? I only looked it up last night. Right, talk amongst yourselves, as we say. Hold music. Your call is important to us.
While you're looking that up,
47. There it is.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and it, not good.
No.
So it's pretty low. So I think this is great. I've always enjoyed this film. I'm going to not talk at all about the film
movie.
Yeah, the movie.
The movie because itself.
We'll get so letters, good. DJ.
Yes, we will get but many.
We will. It's a great film. It's a good courtroom drama. The performances are all very, very good. And it's a movie that is unforgettable. And we'll leave it at that.
Yes, absolutely.
And it still holds up. And I've seen this film loads of times, and I've recommended it to lots of people. And as soon as they've seen it, they're on the phone to you, or they're going, we need to talk.
Yeah, exactly.
Every time without fail.
Somebody that's never seen it.
Exactly that. So if anyone's listening to this or watching this and you're thinking, what's this? You know, go do yourselves a favor. However you see it, and I'm going to tell you in a minute that you need to see this version, but however you see it, do yourself a favor and see it, and then immediately start a conversation with someone about it, because they will have seen it or will want to see it and will be looking forward to it. So it's still great and it still holds up. And, you know, and I watched this with someone else, Monday night. And, last night, I think it was. And we both had a really good time with it. And at the end again, it's so good. It hasn't aged a day. So film, excellent still. Hasn't changed, hasn't aged. It's still great. It is a little sad. Andre Bauer's in it. Who I'd forgotten was in it, of course, who passed only a couple of months or so ago. There's a number of people in here that have since passed. But it's, you know, very, very good. Now, video wise, because this is the 4K disc, it's in 4K UHD. It's just come out here. And in DTS HD 5.1 master audio, mixed to Neuralex. Video wise, it's really nice. It's in 185, so fills the screen nicely. Colors are great. Image quality, very detailed. There is grain, but it's really well taken care of. It's not Karate Kid. It's not, you know, it's not obtrusive. It's been really well worked on. It's a Paramount release. So, of course, they do decent, solid catalog remasters. It's not earth shattering, but it's really good, and it's better than it's looked before. And it, throughout the movie, Gear's got very pricey suits on, and you can see every stitch and weave. The shirts that he wears, the bright, you know, the white pristine shirts look, you know, glowing basically. Everything looks great. There's no issues with that at all. But as I often say, Deej, no matter how good it might look, the audio on this is a home theater experience.
Deej, really?
For a courtroom drama. Now, only in particular one sequence. But what a sequence. So towards the beginning, when Ed Norton is being pursued by the police, that whole sequence is like a modern home theater movie. You've got helicopters which circle the room in the ceiling. So you've got, and it goes round and round and round, and you can pinpoint where the helicopter is without being able to see it. It's really nice. And then as part of this pursuit, he goes over a railway line. And so you've then got the train cars coming across the room, across the back of the room, over the top, because he's then underneath a railway thing. And it is like, wow. And the person I saw it with, again, who's not normally bothered about this kind of thing, was like, that was amazing. And so it's really good. It's only really that main sequence, but it's home theater demo stuff. You got to just check this out for a film from 1996. It's really good. So I was very, very pleased with that. So, it's really, really good. Oh, you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, we lost a screen there. Whatever, okay. There, kids. But yeah,
it's really good. And that particular sequence is enough to drive the whole movie. You know, it looks and sounds great. So I definitely recommend this. And I think it's relatively cheap. I don't think it's, you know, megabucks. It's about £25 here, which is a little more than Paramount normally charge. They're normally $19.99 here. But it's well worth it for a really good movie that stands the test of time and actually has a home theater experience within it. And I'm sure anyone that's got it that has watched it will know what that scene is. It's very, very good. So, yeah, well recommended. Oh, very pleased with this disc.
There we go. So we are, let's see. Here we go. All right. Boom.
How are we doing? Good man. Good man. Is it 4K?
4K.
No, HDR.
Nice. HDR. 5 point, yep, and we got DTS HD Master Audio 5.1. So there we go.
Hey, well done, well done, well done.
And there we go.
I think you'll completing be when you get around to watching
$14.99, 4K HDR. That's not bad.
Yeah, I've never seen that poster image before. That's an unusual one.
Yeah, isn't that's that pretty cool?
Not seen that. Yeah. Not sure why the defense attorney would have his picture on an evidence board, but fair enough.
Yeah. That is pretty
kind of unusual. Yeah, exactly. Why is the defense attorney on the evidence board exactly? There we go. Yeah, very, very good. I think this film's great. And I was very, very pleased with it. So, yeah, I'll be curious to see what you make of it when you get around to it, Deej.
Oh, yeah. It's another one that goes in the collection that I'll be like, oh, whoops. Okay. So, I haven't watched a full movie in a little while now. Mm. And let me see if I'll show you what I've bought recently. We can go to my movies here. Godzilla. Oh, Ten Commandments I put back on. The Passion of the Christ I bought over the weekend.
Easter. Yeah, it's good. Yeah,
Roadhouse. Yeah. I got The Commuter, The Menu, nice. Menu? Madam Web. Yeah. Put Watchmen back on the other day. Never got to it. Contagion. These are all movies I haven't watched. I just keep buying
them. Madam Web was your last one, wasn't it?
I did watch that, yes. I did watch that. I got Raid 2, Annihilation, Oblivion. Those were there, but I haven't even seen Yellowstone. Master and Commander, I watched the opening too.
Great.
Okay. Muppets movie. I was talking with somebody on the Takeover Tuesday about all three Muppet movies. They're there. Yeah.
Okay. The Great Muppet Caper is my absolute favorite of the Muppet movies. I absolutely love that. I quote that movie most weeks, if not most days. I love that film. And one of my favorite lines in that is definitely the checking into the motel. And it goes, how can we pay? He goes, three options, A, cash, B, charge, or C, sneak out in the middle of the night. And he goes, I'll take option C. And he goes, very popular choice. I love that. That is brilliant. And whenever someone says, and of course I hear it a lot in my line of work, someone goes, we caught that person red-handed. And every time I can't help myself, hand goes up and they're like, what are you doing? I go, what color are his hands now? It's so stupid. I love it.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, those movies are just, they're so good. I remember seeing them in the theater as a kid, you know, it was a rainy Saturday or whatever. My mom would take us and you just, oh my God, so good. All right. That's it for you, right?
Yeah, that's me done. Yeah, that's my experience is complete.
So here we go. So I went to my neighbor's house and I asked if I could borrow some power, some electricity. So I ran an extension cord to the house so I'd have full-time power. And but just to run like a light, or I added the Ring system. So I have security. So I got the construction, which I saw at Cedia. They demoed it for me there. And it comes, you know, it's $4.99. It comes with like $600 worth of stuff. So it's not a bad deal. And everything sets up if you're looking at the image here. And it's like you just plug it in and it can run on cellular. So you get a cellular hookup to it. And it comes as the package. And you get 3 gigabytes a month of download if you're using, but it's also uses the, what is it? The Eero, I think it's, is it Eero, E-E-R-O is like the mesh system. So it's incorporated with it.
Okay.
So that's how it talks to the cameras and that's how, so you're basically getting going on your whole home internet system here. And now when I get to the property, my house, my phone goes right to that Wi-Fi. Okay. So set it up, A lot of fun. I put the cameras up front and I got some mounts. I still haven't gotten those yet, but I've got four cameras all on all four corners. It's fun to watch. I go to my phone. I know, Meg and Greg have the Ring system at their house and they've, you know, their house is finished. So they have a nicer system. Mine's kind of like wonky all over the place. But I did notice going through that, you know, in the first day, you get 3 gigabytes a month. In the first day, I'd use half a gigabyte. I'm like, oh, what the hell? That's not going to last. I'm like, what can I do? So I pulled the trigger. Starlink.
Mm.
Do you know what Starlink is?
Yeah, it's Elon Musk's satellite internet, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So I wasn't sure it was going to be here in time. It showed up last night. First thing this morning, got to the house, set it up, and I didn't even take pictures. But I literally, it's this little, this thing here, you lay on, I've got it laying on my deck, and it tells you, it took me 20 minutes to set this thing up, and 187 megabytes a second. That's off of the Starlink speed test. I did a regular speed test. I was up to 211 with uploads of 31. My house gets about 30 to 40 off of my, because we have crappy. I got a gig download, but my upload here is slow. 31 upload, 211. It's normal. I paid $650 and then with tax or whatever for the kit. And they have a special right now. It's like, or it's $90 a month. Normally it's $120 a month to run it. And at these speeds, most people, this is all they would need. And yeah. I don't know what its reliability is. I'm going to be working on that, but I have very good internet at the house already. And, you know, obviously you couldn't run a Kaleidoscape, get all the features with this because you need a gig internet, right? But I could run one. It'd just be slow. Your downloads would be slower, but at this speed, it's like, this is more than enough for most people. So,
is there any data limits on it or is it just as usual? It's just completely open and
the standard package is open. No data limit. No anything, and it's like I'm expecting 120 a month. Right now I'm paying 90. I don't know how long that's going to last. But as soon as I connected it, they were like, okay, your first 30 days, you have 30 days to try it out, send it back, and you get your money back and, you know, everything. The $90 and that they charged me today. And you use your phone to find the signal and everything. I can't tell you how easy this was to get internet. It's insane. I was like, holy crap. And I wasn't expecting those speeds either at 100. I was expecting like 100 and where I'm in the woods and I don't have like a great view of the horizon or anything. I could see the sky. The trees are cleared, but I was like, maybe if I got 50, I'd be like, okay, cause it's a backup. And what I'm super excited about is this is like the ultimate in redundancy, right? Like you lose power and you lose the internet to your internet provider that's off the street. What do? You can't have anything. But now you have this. And if I want to keep it, I can, but it has no commitments. So you can drop it. And then if you get hit with a storm and need it, you just sign back up and it just goes back up and runs.
Oh, wow.
You know, so I'm like, obviously I'm going to keep it until I get the full internet at the house, and then even once I get the full internet at the house, I'll just be like, but I have like redundancy after redundancy because right now on my Ring system, I already have the cellular link and I have like a half a gigabyte left, but next month I'll get another 3. So like if this goes down, that'll back up my Ring system, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, eventually when you get the house up and running and you get internet from the street, I'll have triple redundancy because I could at least, you know, everything would work all the way back. And I don't think, I mean, 90, 120 a month is expensive, but I pay more than that for internet now anyways.
And, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the gig wow, here.
That is expensive.
Yeah, the gig here, a gig connection here, I think is 104. I think I'm paying 140. And then you get
just for the internet, fees. Not for any like TV or
nope.
Wow. Nope. That is a lot. Yeah, we don't pay anything like that. I mean, I've got here only about 130 odd gig down and only about 30 odd up. I mean, you know, we don't have anything too crazy here. But for a gigabyte would be about £60 a month, something like that. And we at the moment are paying about 25. Yeah, for that. So, that does seem a lot. But only in comparison. I mean, normally we're used to in the UK getting absolutely, you know, screwed with anything technological. But actually, that is cheaper here than there. But I've got no cause for that kind of, you know, I just don't need it. Even when I'm working here, I just don't need that speed. Yeah, because we're not moving big files around, and obviously I don't have a Kaleidoscape. So if I got one, I think I would have to bump it. But at the moment, you know, the speeds have got it fine. Interesting. Oh, Paul's asking, does the Starlink antenna need to be aimed or find itself a satellite wherever it's pointing? Finds it wherever it's pointing, doesn't it?
Well, yes and no. It does need to be aimed, but it's super simple. Like you point your phone at the sky, the camera, and it'll show, and it scans the entire sky. Then it gives you
a satellite.
Yeah, it and you'll see where it sees the satellites. These green dots are on the screen, right? So then it tells you, gives you a ballpark on where to set it down. And I don't have a stand or anything. It just has a fold out piece. So you just set it on the deck and I let it sit there. And then it goes, okay, now it's uploading and it wants some adjustments. Okay. And it literally puts a square in a compass and tells you, and now as you turn it real time, you're looking at your phone, you turn it and it's like, you're good. Boom. And then right after that, I went to the 187 megabytes a second. It's that fast. So like people use them for camping and stuff. You take it camp. It just needs to have power. So you got to run a generator or something. But yeah, it's like boats, camera, you know, camping. They have, I think it's like $2,500 for the set, but it's like a super high speed one. So like if you wanted to run a business off it or something, but at 180, like I could run this house if it wasn't for the Kaleidoscape and multiple people running multiple TVs. Cause my parents will have a TV going. Everything will be, you know, that's the drain on your internet if you have enough things going at once. But I just like the idea that if you lose power and you lose everything, like when we lost power for like a week here, everybody in the neighborhood lost their television. You know, even if you had a generator, you had no internet, you had no anything coming in from the cable company. I had Dish TV at the time, so I had TVs and a generator, so that worked. But ever since I cut the cord, everything's just been, I'm like, how do I solve this problem? And I've been looking at this for a while, but I didn't want to get it here. And then I was just like, hey, wait a minute. I actually looked into boosting. My first problem solving idea was to boost the cellular signal because it wasn't very good either. And I was like, wait a minute. What about that star? I looked it up and I was like, oh man, I got to do it. Bang. And I love it. Love it. And I love the redundancy for the theater and everything too. So that you'll always be able to stream regardless.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. So you just need the power so that it can draw its signal from the satellite. Yep. That's interesting.
That's it. That's it. So it makes you, you're really kind of off the grid in a way, right? You don't need a wired connection to the internet and you're getting a good speeds. So. So that was, I'm really excited for that because I love being self-reliant and not having to be like, you know, like have a generator, have power goes down and be able to like still run my house as usual. It's pretty cool.
The flexibility is cool of it. I think I saw adverts on Twitter about it and I remember thinking that does look quite cool. But then the expense was like, well, I just don't need it, you know, because if it goes down here, we do still get cellular signal. I mean, we've got a fairly decent where we are right here. The cellular signal is fine. And on a number of occasions, we've had power cuts. It's like, okay, we'll just go to 5G. It's fine. And we've got, you know, hundreds of gigs worth of 5G every month for free that we never use. And so it's like, because everything's Wi-Fi. So it's like, oh, okay, fine. You know, we just switch to that for a couple of days. There wouldn't be an issue. And you just tether everything to a phone and away you go. Yeah. But I have looked at it though and thought that does look quite cool.
Mm. It is. And the way it's working out, especially at the 30-day trial, the way it's working out is like, I'm interested to see how reliable, like, does it drop out during storms? Does it drop out at certain times? Like, you know, like things tend to do. Satellite things can do that at times. So I don't know how reliable it is 100% of the time. But I mean, we all have internet issues everywhere, right? Whether it's your modem in your house or the street, you never know what it is. There's so many variables. So, but this is just an added feature that you can, hey, if your internet's crappy, if nothing else, it allows you to be like, I hate my internet company. Boom, try this. It's like, you know, and like Paul says, Paul said in the chat, he's like, incredible that Starlink works out cheaper than a hard line. It is, but it isn't. You can't get the speeds that I can get with the hard line for relatively, you know, a little bit more money. I'm getting a gig for like $20 more a month, but to be able to get a good internet connection, and for people that have no internet, like, you know, I had the guy on the show and he was like, I had no internet for years and years at his house. They didn't have it yet. So, I mean, and this is everywhere
in the
country.
You can get it. Yeah. Well, anywhere in the world. Presume as long as you can see the sky, presumably you can get.
Well, you got to go on their map. There's certain countries that are blocked out. He's not allowing them to have it.
Which are countries I'm not sure you'd want to be in anyway, if you could avoid it. Yes. So I think if you find yourself in one of those countries, the internet's the least of your worries.
Right.
Hey, exactly. I'm getting shot at, but check out my kaleidoscape. Look, I tell you what, those bullet sounds, they're so realistic. Oh, it's not the kaleidoscape. Oh, I see. Oh, no.
Yeah, there we go. All right.
Right.
There we go. We got to get going. I know you got to get to bed. I got to get back to work, but that's okay. So that was great. Thank you, everybody in the chat, all Patreon supporters, all the supporters out there. Thank you very much. John and I have been trying to hook up for another conversation and it's like, we're both busy, but John, last I heard, John is doing fairly well. Had a good Easter.
Yeah, he's had some good. He's had some good news this week, hasn't he? So he's, he's very happy, and he has seen the raid and said it did not disappoint.
Nice.
Yes, so he has seen it. Yeah, yeah. We were texting at the weekend, and he enjoyed it.
Did you see Ryan Davey of hashtag Dork commented on the raid the other day on Twitter?
Oh,
yeah. He's like, it had nothing to do with us, but he was just commenting on it. I thought it was funny because I follow him on Twitter, and he was like, he goes, if you liked Dread, you'll love this. Definitely must see, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, hey, there you go. Smart guy. So
yeah.
But, that's it, right? We're good.
Yep. And those for next week, as I said,
started hopefully on time, ending kind of on time.
Yep.
Some fun stuff coming up next week.
Yeah, Cameron-orama, that's the plan next week. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. That's right. All right. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for watching, listening, participating, all that fun stuff. What are you going to do?
Go push play.
What he said.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.